I'm going to introduce our guest preacher today, and really, he's not a guest. For any of you who are involved in small groups in one way, shape, or form, Steve is the guy who writes up our questions. He's running a couple small groups on Wednesday nights. He just does a great job. What I really like about Steve is his sense of humor. He has this wonderful sense of humor. Actually, when I look at him sometimes, I almost want to start giggling already because I know what's going to come out of his mouth is going to make me laugh. He's just that funny. I think he could have been a stand-up comedian if he wanted to, right? I also want to say this about Steve. When you go a little deeper with him, when you go beyond the humor and the surface, you find that he's very deep in his faith. He's very serious about the things of God. So with that being said, will you help me in joining him? Warm welcome for Steve.
I think you wanted to say you giggle when you look at me for other reasons. You know, like, I was late this morning because I had to get my hair done. I mean, those kind of, look at the mess you make. Well, good morning. It is a privilege to be able to stand up here. I would just like to throw out a commercial for the small group ministry that we have here. And I would tell you, as I stand up front with the two services, used to just see a bunch of people sitting out here. But now, spattered all around, there's people that I know because of the result of the small group. And I can look at them, and I know things about them, and I know that they care about me and that I care about them. And so I would tell you, when we start up in the fall, if you haven't been part of a small group, I would encourage you to do that. It's one of the most rewarding things. My wife and Kathy, I get the opportunity to do two groups in a week, and so we're doubly blessed. But this morning, I don't know about you, but I've just had one of those weeks where it's just like, right? So do me a favor. Just take a deep breath. Thank you. And let's just see what God has for us this morning. In the first service, our daughter Leah, it is her birthday today. And I'm standing up here this morning. I look at her and I realize I didn't even tell her happy birthday because I was running to get here. And I'm not sure why it's like that. Sunday mornings seem to be the worst. You know, you're running to do this and you're running to do that. And for whatever reason, we should be here ready to have what God has for us. And this morning, I hope that that's true, that God has something for us. If you were here last week or if you listened to the sermon online, Dave did a great job explaining to us what it would have been like to be a tax collector back in Jesus' time. And did a great job talking about how they were hated and despised and they were outcast and they ripped people off and no one liked them. You've ever felt that way? I think I feel like that way some way. Feels like nobody likes you, right? And so Dave did a good job with that. And so today we're going to take that a little bit more and we're going to talk some more about tax collector. But to give us a different perspective, instead of just hearing me talk the whole time, because Dave will just giggle when he looks at me, instead of hearing me talk the whole time, we've got a couple of guys who are going to bring you a different perspective. So the best thing I just called them, I called them the Bellevue Players. I'm not sure. But let's see what we've got for you this morning.
Zacchaeus.
Who wants to know?
It's me, Matthew. I mean, Levi.
Levi. Oh, Capernaum.
Yes, yes.
We were at Jacob's big house with the tax collectors.
What a party that was.
Oh, what a house. Oh.
Anyway, my name now is Matthew because I'm a follower of Jesus. Have you heard of him?
Yeah. He's one of those Budinskys, isn't he?
No. He's like, oh my gosh. He's the Messiah.
No, come on.
Yes. Yeah, really. He gave sight to a blind man.
Perfect example. I mean, where's a blind guy like being blind? I like my life the way it is. I get to dress nice.
That is a nice suit.
I got a closet full of clothes. Most people don't even have closets.
Yeah, what is a closet?
Yeah. See?
Point taken.
Yeah, see? See, so maybe that guy liked being blind, and Jesus ruined it for him.
I don't know. He made the lame walk. This guy got up off of his mat and rolled it up and walked
away.
Now
he's got to walk everywhere. People used to carry him.
You can't argue that.
Yeah, see a chariot out there?
That's yours?
That's mine.
Wow, nice gold rims.
Gold rims, red velvet interior. I was thinking about upgrading to I'm getting about a second one. A four-horse one, but we just thought we have an Autobahn around here or anything, and I couldn't go real fast.
Yeah, so you don't want to ride that thing in the chariot races.
Yeah, no, I get dirty and dusty.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any friends to clean it. Okay. I got a nice chariot, no friends to go around in it, but, you know.
Jesus has just followers. I mean, by the thousands. He fed 5,000 people one time.
Perfect example. Maybe those people like being hungry. I don't know. You know, what if we just do that?
Do
go. Why are you in Jericho anyway?
Oh, Jesus is coming here. He's going to be here. You should talk to him. Really, I'm serious. You should talk to him.
Should talk to him.
Mind-blowing.
I like my life the way it is. Don't you miss the good old days of all the death threats?
No, can't say that
I have. And people chasing you and you have to run and hide?
No, don't miss that at all. He even rose a little girl from the dead.
Perfect example. Maybe she didn't like being dead. All right.
Just think of the possibilities. You have to talk to Jesus. Just listen to him. Just listen to him.
I like my life the way it is.
Just listen to him once.
I'll catch up with you later.
Okay. It was good to see you.
Yeah.
I thought you were shorter last time I saw you.
New shoes.
Okay.
Hey, wait. Wait for me.
You won't regret this, I'm telling you. You just won't regret it.
I better not.
Don't tell me you regret me. We were friends.
As you guessed it, our character that we're talking about today is Zacchaeus. So we're going to talk about another tax collector in this great season that we have here. You know, how many of you excited? Raise a hand to pay taxes. Oh, a couple people. Oh, great. If you have any extra, just give it to me, since you're so excited. So that's where we are. And so we know all about Zacchaeus. And most of you probably know him from when you were a kid. You know him by his theme song, right? You know, it's all about that guy. And he tells us he's short. And he tells us that he climbs a sycamore tree. And, you know, I thought that if Zacchaeus was a professional athlete, you know, like when a baseball player comes to the plate, they play his song, right? You know, or when the professional athlete goes in, it would have been something like, ding, ding, ding. You know, ladies and gentlemen, here's the song, right? Who can sing the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? What a wee little man was he. And so that's how he would enter the stage. He would come in with that song, and everybody know, oh, it's Zacchaeus. Nope. Everybody wouldn't have said, oh, it's Zacchaeus. I'm so happy to see him. That's not the way that it would have worked. But I thought, all right, in today's terms, how do we think and how do we picture who Zacchaeus was? If Zacchaeus was in a TV show, if there was a TV show about Zacchaeus, I think that he would be played by Danny DeVito. And you see Danny DeVito as Zacchaeus, right? Okay. I just saw a commercial the other day where he was talking about taxes. I'm like, hey, this is perfect. It really fits. Okay. If there would be a Disney movie made about him, the star of the Disney movie would be Scrooge McDuck. Do you remember Scrooge McDuck? All right. Little short duck and all the kind of gold. That's what it would be like. And so that's what we look at if we're talking about today. What would it be like to have him around and where it would be? And so Zacchaeus, his name, the name that his parents gave him, meant pure one. Oops. Because that's not where he was. He was not a Jewish person that grew up to be a pure one. He became the exact opposite. He stole from his own people. He took those things. He would hate it. He had to kind of sneak around the shadows because he was not a pure one. He was not good. But he was good at his job. He was good at his job, and he was so good that they made him the tax collector over everyone. He was a head tax collector, which means he had tax collectors who worked underneath him. All right, he was a chief tax collector, they called it. And so he worked there, and so he got more money. The more money that they did, it's kind of like some kind of a pyramid scheme, right? This was the first Amway thing, all right? So that's how it worked. And so he was a chief tax collector. The better he was at the job, the more money he had, the more he ripped off, the more stuff he had, the greater it was. And so when he walked around town, people People didn't like him. And it would be a lot like this for us today. I wasn't going to have props, but Stacy, who was in the first service, she is in our small group, and she's like, are you going to have props this time? You know, because you remember the last time I preached, I brought this witch thing, and I accidentally said that it was my mother-in-law. No, it is her witch. This is my mother-in-law over here. I am very blessed with the in-laws that I have. And so I caught a lot of flack about that from my children when I slipped up and said that. But she wanted props. And so I said, all right, what kind of props can we use to help us understand what it would have been like to be an Israelite, what would it be to a Jewish person, and what would it be like when you saw Zacchaeus? So this is how I see the Jewish people, all right? So if you're a Jewish person, this is you today, all right? And if you saw Zacchaeus, this is what you would feel. You know, and if there's some of you in here like this one, sorry for you, all right? If you were a Jewish person, as soon as you saw this one, you'd be like, oh, man. And all the stories and all the jokes. All right, and for the certain week of the thing, you don't use the letter M, right? There's things that you do. There's things that brings up inside of you. There's thoughts and feelings and everything when you see those things. And that's what happens. And so Zacchaeus was the tax guy of all tax guys, you know? They would have named, like, H&R Block would have been named after him back in that day. And so all the really good fathers, all right, the good Jewish fathers, they would have raised their children up like I've raised my son up. You know, our son is 11 now. As long as he could talk, I raised him in a certain way. If we were in a shopping cart and we were going through the store, this is what he did when he saw this. If we're out somewhere, this is what he did. And so I raised him as a good father. If you've raised him the opposite, I would say that you're not a good father. I'm sorry to say that. But as a good father here in Ohio, in northern Ohio, when I raised my son, if we were anywhere and we saw somebody wearing one of these, he was to point and say, boo! And he has done it all over the place. And people are like, oh, they look at you like, yeah, but you know what? Son, boo, all right? You're supposed to boo with this. We are Browns fans here. You're supposed to boo. And so that's what the Israelites would have trained their son today. As soon as they saw Zacchaeus, they'd be like, boo! The funny thing is that my son has all kinds of jerseys that either people have given us. We've got football jerseys. He's got helmets in his room. We've painted the helmets to look like certain things. For those are his decorations. And so the other day I said, hey, go up to your room and find me a Steelers jersey for my sermon. And you know what he said? He's 11. Why would I have a Steelers jersey in my room? I'm like, you're right. So I had to go to the Goodwill and find this. All right. So lucky it was a 75% off day because that's what I bought for a rag. It was only like $1.29, and so now I have a new rag at home that we're going to use to clean the... So that's what it would have been like to be raised as an Israelite boy. When you saw Zacchaeus in the Lord, you would just boo. They hated him. They didn't like it. Today, let's go to our text. It's in Luke 19, 1 through 10. If it's on your notes, if you can read it, it's a little bit small, but it's also, you can find it in your Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. And this is where we find the story of Zacchaeus. This is where we find it in the Bible. It's the only place where he's mentioned and talked about. And this is his story. So I'm going to read it to you. If you're in the Pew Bible, it may be a little bit different. But I'm going to use the NIV because it helps me do some of the things that I want to do with our sermon today. So I will read it to you, then we're going to kind of break it down and we're going to go through it. On their notes, you will see the top has those verses. So I'm going to bring out some words throughout the entire thing, and we're going to talk about words. If you'd like to underline them, circle them, whatever you want to do in your notes, that's up to you. Excuse me, but let me read this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that you would show us what it means to have a heart like Zacchaeus, that you would help us to understand what it was like to have such a dramatic change of life due to an encounter with Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this. Lord, I pray that the words this morning would be yours, that I haven't put anything in here that is not from you, Lord, that you would help us to hear what you want us to hear this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in so many ways, and we pray through your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so our big idea today is an encounter with Jesus creates a changed life. If you run into Jesus in some way, you are going to have a changed life. That's just what happens. And so that's what we're going to see as we go through here. We're going to see the life of Zacchaeus and how that happened. So let me walk through this entire thing with you, and we'll go from here. So the first verse, chapter 1, says, Jesus entered Jericho. Stop. Have you heard of Jericho before? Another great children's story, right? Another one where they walked around the city and God said, you don't have to do anything. Just walk around and blow your trumpets and all those things and do what I ask you. And the city, the giant city, just crumbled. I did some work looking at archaeological stuff as I was preparing this, and I found out all these really interesting things, and I wish we had time to go through it today. But some of the things that were really cool is that they found out that the city collapsed from the inside and the walls fell out. The Bible says that the Israelites walked up into Jericho. The only way that could happen is that the walls fell out. So the walls fell out. They said there was probably an earthquake at one point. But there was a section of the walls in Jericho which did not fall completely down. If you remember why, there was a spy stayed in the house of Rahab. And they told her, your family will be saved. So they said there was a part of that wall that was still, that wasn't moved when they dug it up and excavated. And so there are things that are amazing. So the story of Jericho, he is in the city of Jericho. Now it is a different one. It's built in a different place. They moved it because there was a curse put on that land that no one should ever rebuild that. And so Jericho is a different place. But it is the city of Jericho. They said it's probably one of the longest inhabited cities in the world, where it was continually habitated. That's what they said. And so Jericho's there. Jesus is there. And it says, as Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. The next words I want you to underline are passing through. All right? We pass through things all the time, right? You don't think anything of it. You just go by. I can find very few places where Jesus was not intentional about what he was doing. I doubt that it was just a casual passing through, which we're going to find a little bit later, when he uses a word called must. He uses the word must, and not what your clothes feel like if you don't get them really dry, but a different one, must, all right? It was not a casual passing through. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan from many, many years ago on why Jesus had to walk through this day. He was on his way to Jerusalem. They were on their way for the Passover. This meeting with Zacchaeus was just several days away from when Jesus was going to face all the things that he's going to face at Easter. All the things that we know that's going to happen to him. It's just a few days before that. So they were just passing through. I don't think he was just passing through. And then verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. All right, so here we are, big guy, got all the money, right? He's got everything. Everybody hates him. He's got accounts. He's got paperwork. He's got it all well documented. He can tell you how much you owe, and then he adds a little more. He's got it all figured out. He's the chief tax collector. Okay? So he wanted to see, the next thing you underline, who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. He wanted to figure out, what is he hearing? He's hearing about miracles. He's hearing about some of the things that our skit guys talked about today. All right? He wants to find out who he really is. Have you ever wanted to see if someone was real when you hear things about them? Are they really what they say they are? That's what this was about. Zacchaeus just wanted to see who he was. Zacchaeus didn't know him. They'd never met before. They weren't pen pals. There was none of those things. He was curious because of all these people were following him through the town. He wanted to see what it was. He's heard all the things because this is the end of Jesus' ministry. All those stories that follow him. He wants to find out who he was. So who Jesus was. But because he was short. We all have things that we wish we had different, you know? I would love to have long flowing hair. I wouldn't care which color it was, right? There's all kinds of things that we wish would be different. Okay? I wish there was less of me, right? Less of me, more of Jesus. I mean, there's those things that we all wish. Zacchaeus was short. That's what he was given. But he made the best with it, with what he knows. So there are all things in all of our lives that we don't have that we wish we did have. Okay? He could not see over the tree, so he ran ahead. As I picture this and as I think about it, Zacchaeus probably couldn't just walk right out in the middle of the town between everybody. He couldn't just do that because people hated him. People couldn't stand him, all right? If he was walking next to you, you might kind of just elbow him in the face, right? Because he's shorter, all right? You might just bust him in the nose. So I picture Zacchaeus kind of sneaking around in the back alleys. He's going to get to a place where he can see Jesus. So he runs ahead. His little legs are moving. He runs ahead. He gets way far down the road. He knows where they're going. He knows the road to Jerusalem. He gets down there. And then when we think of Zacchaeus climbing up in a tree, maybe his legs just dangling over like we all used to, right? How long has it been since you ever climbed? It's been so long since I've climbed a tree, you know? I mean, I'm afraid to go down the stairs sometimes. But, you know, so he climbs up this tree, which a person of his stature and a person of his character and standing in the community would not have been a very good thing to do. But he humbled himself and climbs up the tree. And so here's what I picture. I don't think he's just sitting on a branch for everyone to see because people didn't like him. It wouldn't take much to shake the tree and try to knock him out, right? Nobody likes Zacchaeus. So I think he climbed up behind the tree, was hiding behind the branches, maybe just sticking his face out through the leaves. Because he wanted to see who Jesus was. He didn't have any plans of jumping in the parade. He didn't have any plans of going to see him. He just wanted to see who he was. So I picture him sitting up in a tree, hiding behind so no one can recognize him. No one sees him. No one yells at him. No one knocks him out of the tree. No one throws an apple at him. No one does any of those kind of things. Zacchaeus is hiding. Okay? In a sycamore fig tree. The interesting thing I found about the sycamore tree is it is not native to this part of Jericho. It was something that was brought there from somewhere and it grew. It was called, Jericho was called the city of palms. So there would have been palm trees everywhere, which would have been hard to climb. So I don't know how old this tree is. I don't know how big this tree is, but let's say it's 100 years old. Sometime in history, God said, let's put a tree here and let's let it grow. A tree that's not native to this land, because somewhere down the road, I have a plan for that tree. I think God does that. I think God has a plan for all the things that happen, even a tree. All right, and so that sycamore tree grew there. So then verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus. All right, underline Zacchaeus again. That's his name. There are thousands of people walking up and down the street. Zacchaeus is hiding behind the leaves. And Jesus stops in the street, looks up to him. They've never met before. They've never exchanged photos, all right? He hasn't looked him up on the internet. And Jesus calls him by name. And then it says that Zacchaeus quickly got down the tree. I think that's just good language, for he was so excited he fell out. I mean, could you imagine that this guy that you wanted to see stops and calls you out, calls you by name? He calls him by name, and Zacchaeus gets down happily, and he's ready to go because Jesus says, I want to go to your house today. I'm coming to your house today. But he actually uses a word that says, I must go to your house today. He had no choice. This might have been part of the plan forever and ever that Jesus was going to go to his house today. Think about your house today. If you were leaving here and you walked out and Jesus said, hey, I'm coming over, you're like, ah, right? You know, did you put the underwear back in the drawer? Have we made the bed? Is there dishes in the bucket? I don't know what they had back then, but maybe it was a bucket. Zacchaeus had all his dishes in the bucket. But Zacchaeus is happy. He says, Jesus, come on over to my house. I want you to be there. I want you to be around me. And then it said this. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Those three words, began to mutter. For some reason, when people see something good, they have to complain about it. You know, we go to Walmart a lot just because that's the place that makes it all easiest. And I have found that anytime you go to Walmart, if you see two employees standing together and you just sneak over there and listen, pretend you're trying to buy vegetables or whatever, they're always complaining about Walmart. They're complaining about their boss. They're complaining about their corporate office. They're complaining about this. When people get together, for some reason, they like to mutter, and that's what's happening here. They're all saying, oh, Jesus is eating with sinners again. This Jesus is a terrible person. Why is he hanging around this guy? Everybody hates him. But we know that that's where Jesus goes. That's where he goes every time. So now, between verse 7 and verse 8, there must be a span of time that passes that we're not allowed to have in Scripture here. There should have been a bigger space in our Bible. Because there's no way that these two things happen right next to each other. He didn't come down to go to dinner, and then Zacchaeus says the things he does. So something happened in the time while they were having dinner together, while they're sitting around the table. Dave showed us a picture last week of them all reclining around a table. Something happened in that time. We'll remember other stories in the Bible where Jesus gathered with people and he writes in the ground and everybody's like, whoop, and they take off. Somewhere in here, Zacchaeus found out what it meant to be in the presence of the holy God, to be in the presence of Jesus, and something happens. Something happens to Zacchaeus' life while they're having dinner, while they're sitting around, while they're talking. And we don't know what it is. But some period of time must have passed, and that's where it is. Because here's what we get in verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. So here is a rich man. Which you say, oh, well, that's easy. He just gives half and he still has a lot, right? Okay? In my house, I got a bunch of junk like in the barn that I think is someday going to be worth it. You know, I just told Kathy, I'm just going to put it all on shelves and start to market. That way you can have the auction when I'm gone. All right, it'll be easy, right? But for some reason, we keep stuff. We save stuff. We think we're going to have stuff. But Zacchaeus says, half of everything I own, I'm giving to the poor right now. Now, I don't know if he ran around and put little stickers on it. This is what I'm keeping, this is what I'm not. But that's what he did. Half of everything that he has, he's giving to the poor. Something has happened in his life that he's going to change. And then he says this. And I want you to picture, when you do your TurboTax or you go to your accountant or whatever you do this tax season and you're going to get a refund, wouldn't it be nice if the next thing came out? Oh, you're going to get four times as much, the president says, or whoever says, right? So whatever Zacchaeus cheated people out of, he's got just records for everything that he has. He knows what's going to happen. Everything that he has, he's going to do that. He's going to pay them back four times. But the word that's in there that is the most interesting to me is that small little word, if. Now, Zacchaeus knows darn well that he has cheated people out of money, right? But he says this, well, if I have ever cheated anyone, I'll pay them back four times. That would be like me saying, if I ever did anything wrong, Jesus, I would tell you that I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but my if list is really long because I know every day that I do things wrong, all right? I was a jerk last night. I had to send one of my daughters a text this morning because I was an idiot, and God said, don't stand up and preach until you fix this. Now I have to go home, and then I have to look her in the eye and say, I'm sorry, Dad was a jerk. I mean, she'll know. I know. There's a long time you've been a jerk. I mean, it's been that way forever, all right? But we do things like that. For some reason, we just do it. We make mistakes. We say things or we do things that we shouldn't do. But it's not an if. Zacchaeus knew what he was. Zacchaeus knew that he had ripped people off, that he had worked for the Romans, that he had been there, and he'd done that. There was no if about it. So then he pays them back. If we were to jump back into Luke chapter 18, we would hear the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And he says, I want to have eternal life. I want to have all of that stuff. What do I need to do? And Jesus looks at him and says, sell everything you have and follow me. And that rich young ruler says, no thanks. And he walks out. And Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit heaven. And then just the very next chapter, we've got a rich man who God says is going to inherit the heaven. He's going to inherit eternal life. He's going to get all of that. How does that work? Do the math. Zacchaeus, the rich man, just gave half of everything he owns to the poor. And now he's paying back everybody that he took from four times more. Guess who is no longer a rich man? In chapter 18, he says, it is almost impossible for a rich man to inherit heaven. But what people say is impossible, God can make possible. And so that is the possible. God allowed all these things through a change of heart of Zacchaeus for him to be that. And so then that's where he is. And so I kind of think of, you know, if you remember back, Justin shared a story about something. And when I think of Zacchaeus, I kind of think of the Grinch. And towards the end of that movie, when his heart grew, and his heart grew, and it got bigger and bigger, and he was more generous. And that is what happened to Zacchaeus in this situation. Something changed in his life. And what that was is he began to follow Jesus. He became a follower of Jesus, and that's what it was. And the Bible tells us, unless we're like little children, we cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Little kids climb trees, right? Zacchaeus became like a little child, and he went out and he did that. Today I would like to share with you something that I think is pretty interesting. And so this is a book. The little booklet that was written in 1951. This is called My Heart, Christ's Home. This is one of the coolest things that I've read in all of the years. I think about this on an ongoing basis. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to actually read some excerpts from that. I cannot read the whole thing, nor can I read out of that little one without some binoculars probably, all right, standing up here. So I have actually printed it out. So this is called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it talks about a man who asked Jesus to come into his life. And Jesus came and lived in his heart. And so he literally begins to talk about the different parts of his heart. What would it be like to have a Jesus in there? And let me read that. So Ephesians 3:16 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then John 14:23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come into him and make our home with him. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He wants to come into our life. And so let me read you this story that this man read, which I just believe is really inspired. One evening, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular, emotional thing, but very real. It was at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in the cold fireplace and banished the chill. He started music where there had been stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Christ, and I never will. That's what Dave talked about at the end of his sermon last week. If you've never done that, what's it mean to ask Jesus to come into our heart? Then he says this, after Christ entered my heart, and in the joy of this new relationship, I said to him, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around and introduce you to the various features of the home that you may be more comfortable and that we may have fuller fellowship together. So the first room that Jesus wanted to go into was the library. The first room was the library. Let us call it the study of my mind. Now in my home, this room of the mind is a very small room with very thick walls. But it is an important room, in a sense. It is the control room of the house. He entered with me and looked around at the books in the bookcase, the magazines upon the table, the pictures on the walls. As I followed Jesus' gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely enough, I had not felt badly about this before. But now that he was there looking at these things, I was embarrassed. There were some books there that his eyes were too pure to behold. There was a lot of trash and literature on the table that a Christian had no business reading. And as for the pictures on the wall, the imaginations and thoughts of my mind, these were shameful. I turned to him and said, Master, I know that this room needs a radical alteration. Will you help me make it what it ought to be? To bring every thought into captivity to you? Surely, he said, gladly I will help you. So from the library, we went into the dining room, the room of appetites and desires. Now, this was a very large room. I spent a good deal of time in the dining room and much effort in satisfying my wants. I said to him, this is my favorite room. I am quite sure you will be pleased with what we serve. He seated himself at the table with me and asked, what is on the menu for dinner? Well, I said, my favorite dishes, money, academic degrees and stocks, with newspaper articles of fame and fortune as the side dishes. He looked at me again and said, if you want food that really satisfies you, seek the will of my Father, not your own pleasures, not your own desires, and not your own satisfaction. And that's what it was like in the dining room. Next, we walked into the living room, and he talks about his living room being very comfortable and nice big chairs and a warm fire. And Jesus says to him, I'll meet you there every morning. We can spend time together in this room. You can read and we can talk and we can do that. And he talks and he reads in here about how great of an experience it is to spend every morning with Jesus. But then something happens. Life gets busy. He stops going as often. He stops spending that time with Jesus. And then he talks about walking one day in a hurry on his way somewhere, and he sees that door open and he sees Jesus sitting there waiting. But he's too busy. He's too busy to spend that time with him, and he runs off and he goes about where he is. And then they talk about the workroom and how to go in the workroom, and God has given him special gifts and talents and all those things, and he's got the tools to make it happen, but for whatever reason, he doesn't use it the way God intended. And then he says, would you like to do it better? Certainly, I replied. Then they go into the rec room where he spends his time. And I'll read this straight out of here. I remember the time he asked me about the playroom. I was hoping he would not ask about that. There are certain associations and friendships, activities and amusements that I wanted to keep for myself. I did not think Christ would enjoy them or approve of them, so I evaded the question. But there came an evening when I was on my way out with some of my friends, and I was about to cross the threshold of the door. Jesus stopped me with a glance and said, are you going out? I replied, yes. Good, Jesus said. I would like to go with you. Oh, I answered rather awkwardly. I don't think, Lord Jesus, that you really want to go out with us. Let's just go out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll go to a prayer meeting, but tonight I have another appointment. Jesus wants to be everywhere with us, but for some reason we don't want to take him. And then the last one, and I will let you, this will be my commercial. I'll let you read it on your own. I'll let you find it. It's the hall closet. And Jesus talks about the hall closet. It's all the old things of the world. And this man says, I'm not letting Jesus into the hall closet. I'm keeping that key because I like those things. I don't want Jesus having access to everything. I've given him the rest. I'm going to keep the hall closet my own. I ask you the question this morning. Is there anything that you're keeping from Jesus? Is there anything that you're hiding? Is there a place in your life that you will not give him access to? Because the Lord wants access to everything. And I'm going to finish up with 5 points to ponder. So 5 points to ponder out of the life of Zacchaeus. And the first one is this. Even the worst of sinners can see the truth. Even the worst of sinners can see the truth. Zacchaeus was what they called the worst of sinners. And Dave explained some of that about the tax collectors last week. So number one is even the worst of sinners can see the truth. Number two in the life of Zacchaeus, when you see the truth, run to it. Don't walk. Run to Jesus. Don't take your time. Run. And get ahead of it all, as Zacchaeus did. He ran. Number three, no obstacle is too big to stand in our way of seeing Jesus. No obstacle is too big. There wasn't a crowd was too big, or they couldn't see him. He climbed a tree. Zacchaeus made sure that he did everything that he needed to do. There is no obstacle that is too big. Number four, no matter what, Jesus wants to be with you. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you've said, doesn't matter who you are to everybody and who you are in secret, Jesus wants to be with you. Jesus wants a relationship with you. That was why you were created. That's why you're here, is to have a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing you can do to change that. He wants that relationship with you. And number five, there are no secrets. Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. There's an example of Jesus meeting a woman at the well. He knew everything about her before that. So as you sit here today, there's nothing you can hide from Jesus. He knows it all. Jesus knows it all and still loves you with everything that he is. Those are my 5 points to ponder this morning, because Jesus knows you, loves you, and wants you. If you remember last Sunday, Dave gave you the opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life, and I would tell you, don't leave without doing that. Don't give it another shot. Jesus has a plan for your life. He has things he wants to see happen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not given their heart to you, fully to you, Lord, that you would call them today. You would call them by name, that this afternoon they would know that you want them to be your child. Lord, we just give all these things to you. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us this week with your love, and that you would allow us to be something in another person's life who doesn't know you. Lord, we just thank you and pray all this through your name, Jesus. Amen. It's going to happen to all of us someday. Maybe you'll be sitting in your easy chair. Maybe you'll be in a car. Maybe you'll be in a plane. Maybe you'll be sitting in a tree. But at some point, God is going to call your name. Jesus is going to call your name, and he's going to say, I want you to follow me. I would ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to be a follower of Jesus? I'm going to give the benediction. I just ask that you just close your eyes for just a moment, and I'll pray you on out of here with this. Father God, I pray that we would seek you as Zacchaeus did. Lord, help us to climb out of our comfort zone and devote all areas of our lives to you. Lord, come into our homes and fill all areas of our lives there with your presence. Lord, help us overcome our fears, our doubts, and shame, and show us how to love others as you have loved us. And God, as we leave here, fill us up with your Spirit so we can leak your love unto those around us. Pray this through your name, Jesus. Amen. Go and be a Zacchaeus.